Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live, presented by DraftKings right here on Giants.com. Joined by Paul Dottino, I am John Schmelk, 201-939-4513. That's your telephone number, or if you prefer, you can hang out with us on Twitter at hashtag GiantsChat. Anything you want to talk about, this is going to be a caller show. We're going to open up very briefly here. We'll have a little bit of a chat. Then we'll go to the calls. Anything you guys want to talk about is on the table. Free agency, the draft, the playoffs this past season, whatever you got. Give us a call. This show is going to be about you guys, the callers, for the next 60 minutes. And, Paul, you and Lance were on yesterday. You obviously had a chance to talk a little bit about the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And I talked to both of you guys about what you discussed, and it really was right on the money in terms of the types of teams that have come out and won Super Bowls the past few years. And I went through it with Lance last week, looking back at past Super Bowl winners and some of the common characteristics between those teams. And one of the things that stood out is that generally, you know, except for maybe the Saints, though they had a lot of takeaways that year, and maybe the Packers for the 1 year, again, they had a lot of takeaways that one particular year. You know, you have to have a top 12-ish type of defense, 15-ish.
Top half.
If you wanna,
just say top half.
If you want to have a real good chance of winning the Super Bowl. Now, there are exceptions. The Giants in 2011 are an exception to that rule. But you don't want to rely on that sort of thing. So, to me, if you look at this game, and even the job the Panther defense did against the Broncos. I mean, Coney Ealy was unbelievable.
They were good.
And Feagles and I talked about this last week. Both these teams have valuable defensive players on their rosters that are still playing on their rookie contracts. And in order to get enough talent together, in order to get to the Super Bowl and win these types of games, you have to have guys on your roster that are playing above the value of their deal.
Yeah.
How do you get guys that play above the value of their deal? Generally, it's guys that are on their rookie contracts. And if you look at the I'll start with the Panthers, even though they lost. Josh Norman, rookie contract. Kawan Short, rookie contract. Star Lotu Lele, rookie contract. Coney Ealy, the best defender in that game, rookie contract. You go on offense. Obviously, Ted Ginn, not his rookie contract, but not making a ton of money.
Good point.
You take a look at, you know, some of their other skill position guys, not the case, but that's where they spent their money. You know, they paid Cam Newton. They paid Greg Olsen. They paid Jonathan Stewart. They paid Ryan Khalil, who I believe has gotten an extension off his rookie deal. So you spend money, but then you also have to have areas where you're not spending money. And there's a reason that the Broncos have so many free agents coming this offseason. Malik Jackson, rookie contract. Von Miller, rookie contract. Brandon Marshall, the linebacker, rookie contract. Danny Trevathan, rookie contract. So these are all guys, Wolf, rookie contract. These are all guys, Sylvester Williams, rookie contract. I mean, that's almost their whole front seven, for goodness sakes. It's ridiculous. So you take a look at these guys on the roster, and the way the roster is put together, you're going to have to find the number of your guys on your roster that outperform their deals. That's how you win Super Bowls.
That's a great point, John. And, you know, when John Mara said at the presser a few weeks back that we needed to have more production out of our third, fourth, and fifth-year players, that directly relates to what you just said. Because a lot of those guys, when they come out as rookies, they're signing four-year deals. You know, sometimes they've got that fifth-year option in
there.
Like
Prince had this year.
Right.
And, yeah.
But those are the core guys that need to be producers. I agree with you.
And, you know, it just allows you a lot more flexibility to go out there to add a guy like DeMarcus Ware. To add a guy like Ward at safety, to add Aqib Talib, to supplement those other guys that aren't making a lot of money, because then you can go and pay those other guys a lot of money.
It's a great point.
And, you know, I think as the Giants start to build here, and, you know, you can make a lot of quick additions in free agency that are going to help you, but as John Mara said, and he said it was one of the reasons they liked the hire of Ben McAdoo, because he came from the Packers, who had a similar philosophy, that you build through the draft. And that's why you have to build through the draft. Because we've talked about it a million times. When you go into free agency, you might get a couple good players. You might even get some players that end up being bargains, like Robert Ayers. What they're paying him ended up being a bargain. But those guys don't come along very often, especially with the cap continuing to go up the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
In free agency, guys are going to, more often than not, get paid to their value or get paid more than what their value might actually be. So that's why you have to be a little bit judicious, which is the Giant way, and it's how they've operated in the past. When you go out there and spend that free agent money, because you want to make sure that you maximize every dollar of your salary cap as you move forward.
It's the other reason why you have to hit big in the middle and late rounds of the draft as well, specifically because those guys aren't getting the big bonus money the first and second rounders are getting.
Yeah, but you know what? Even now, with everybody being slotted, those first-round picks aren't
as much.
They're not.
But what happens is when you accumulate guys who are in the lower ends, you know, all of a sudden it's like, wow, we're getting something out of those guys right away like the Giants did in 2007. And it allows for your window to be a little bit longer.
Oh, by the way, the Giants' history is a great example of that. You mentioned all those draft picks in 2007.
But what happened?
Justin Tuck, I believe, was still on his rookie contract in 2007.
Oh, that's true.
You go to 2011, there's better examples.
Yeah,
what was that 2011 Giant team all about? Throwing the ball down the field, making big plays.
They had
the air,
to,
right?
They had to.
Well, what were their three wide receivers that year?
Yeah, all rookie contract guys.
Nobody made any money. Nobody made a dime. And you know what? That's how you win.
No, it's a great point, John. And I think that, you know, the one aspect of what the Giants are trying to do right now as they continue to try to retool is that they are looking at their last two drafts.
Oh, absolutely.
And saying, we got a lot of keepers here.
You can even go back 3 years if you want, you know, with Justin Pugh and things like that.
But now it's time
Jonathan
for
Hankins.
Those keepers to be true producers.
Yeah, you go from having a guy with potential to the guy that's a Pro Bowler.
Now, you know, it's like, wait a minute. It's nice that you participate. It's nice that you're now a rotation guy. Now you got to be a core guy. That's what you need from some of those guys. They got to be core guys.
And that's also, we've talked about this before, too. And you could throw Eli Manning's window with his age into this mix, too. But that's why you want to try to make a run here while Odell Beckham Jr. is still in his rookie contract.
That, too.
Because you're getting such ridiculous production, you know, out of a guy that could very well be the best wide receiver in football. And you're paying him virtually nothing. I mean, he's making first-round money, that's fine. But he's not making
$15
a year.
He's not making Pro Bowl money right now.
He's not making Julio Jones money. He's not making A.J. Green money. He's not making Dez Bryant money.
Yeah. Well, and this is why we've talked about this too, John. When I talk about old school and how much I loved old school and, you know, free agency with Plan B, I loved it because it was more restrictive. And all the things that you're talking about now were not as influential in building a team. But because of the way the league has morphed and changed, and because of the unrestricted free agency, and because of the salary cap, all of these things dramatically inhibit your ability to continuously put a winner on the field, which is why I say over and over again, what the Patriots have done is beyond miraculous. Belichick is Houdini, and I can't say enough about the dynasty that the Patriots have built. And I use that word dynasty not because they won 10 championships in a row.
It's a dynasty.
But because, what, for 15, 16 years, they've been a real legitimate contender.
Oh, absolutely. Every year. They've,
you know?
I mean, they've been in the AFC Championship 10 out of 15 years.
I mean, if you associate dynasty with the championships. What? They only have a few of those.
They only have four. And they only made it to six.
They only have a few, you know. Only a few.
And by the way, that shows you how hard it is to win, by the way, too.
Yes.
You can be that good for that long with the best coach in NFL history, or one of the best coaches in NFL history, one of the best quarterbacks in NFL history, and still only win a championship 25% of the years that they're together.
Exactly.
It shows you how hard it is to win, by the way.
It's unbelievably difficult.
And so many things have to go your way, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I had a Patriot fan that came over my house and watched a Super Bowl with me. And, you know, I asked him, like, this year, how tough was it? He said this was one of the tougher years because he really thought that they had the better team and they should have won that game. All right. Before I get to your calls at 201-939-4513, we already talked about this a little bit in terms of what those guys had done. Now, just very briefly, when you approach free agency here, Paul, and you take a look what the Giants' needs are, and we've talked about it a million times, so I'm not going to go through them again. A lot of them are defense, all right? Maybe some, you know, receiver, if Cruz can't go, maybe an offensive lineman, you want a veteran tight end, whatever.
Priorities, but defense.
Priorities, absolutely defense.
I'm with you.
Where do you think among their positions of need on defense, do you think they don't have to spend a premium dollar to find some players that can help them? Maybe not be a star, but be a solid starter on that defense. You can throw pass rusher out because you ain't finding one there.
You got to pay for a pass rusher.
Yep.
You're going to have to pay for the safety.
Do you think you have to pay? Do you have to pay premium money if you get a veteran safety that can cover? Now, it doesn't have to be a Pro Bowler now. What if you get a guy that knows what he's doing, is solid, is in the right place at the right time, though not a Pro Bowler? And the name that pops in my head is Eric Weddle, who's obviously not the player he used to be, but he's a veteran. He's over 30. I mean, you don't have to pay him premium money.
When you talk about premium money.
I'm talking Devin McCourty money.
All right. And in all honesty, when you talk about that ballpark, in a lot of cases, that guy's not just paid for value, but he's kind of overpaid a lot of times, too.
Well, yeah.
That's what premium money is.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, I think Weddle is a guy who you can get at a, I hate to use this word, it's so subjective, reasonable rate.
Yeah, I don't even think you'd have to pay him as much as you paid Roll when he came here 5 years ago. I wouldn't think. But who knows with the market? You never know.
Don't, and that's the problem. The market can really warp a guy's sense of value.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, it's like we're not in the same ballpark when we're talking dollars and cents here, because this guy, based on what he sees on the street, has got himself way up here, and really he's only down here as a player.
Right.
It's a big problem. So the safety, the free agent safety list is not huge. You have it here. It's not huge. There's Weddle. There's Berry, who's going to go back to Kansas City. The Chiefs have already said they're going to do everything they can to hold on to him.
Reggie Nelson's a veteran from Cincinnati.
Walter Thurman?
He's 32. Walter Thurman, yeah. I mean, you would figure Philly would want to keep him around. But
you know, but it's
a
not a
guy.
Stellar crop, John.
Issa Abdul Kudus, does it get you excited? No?
It's not a stellar crop.
It's not.
So the problem becomes now, okay, if you think – and again, this is now you and I talking. Mm-hmm. If you or I think that Eric Weddle is the second best safety next to Berry.
If you think that, which
if you
is
believe
arguable,
that.
Right.
Okay. Well, Berry's going back to Kansas City. So now suddenly Weddle becomes number one.
But here's the question. Even though, right, but he's number one right now. You have to almost put into that calculation, what do you think he's going to be in 2 years? Because you're going to pay for that second year.
Well,
and
that's true.
At 33, is he going to be the same player he was at 30?
And now the other thing is you also have to take into account who else is looking for a dire need at the position,
who's
because
desperate.
That's going to drive their price up.
I mean, look at last year. There were teams lining up around the block to try to sign Devin McCourty.
No question.
There aren't a lot of good coverage safeties anymore.
No
for whatever
question.
Reason, they don't show up anymore. And you would figure, with all the, and we'll get to your calls in 1 minute, when you talk about college football and how much it's changed, you would think that you wouldn't necessarily have all these box safeties. But I guess maybe the linebackers are smaller. You need safeties that can tackle in the box. You figured you'd have better cover safeties.
The cover safeties want to play corner because they want to make big NFL money.
Maybe you're right, because the way college works, when you spread the field, you would think you need a safety that can go sideline to sideline to be successful, but they really just don't show up that much anymore.
There are a bunch of guys in this draft who I watched at the Senior Bowl, the East-West game, during the All-Star games, and I kept hearing from about half of the guys, oh, he's a corner safety. He's playing safety, but he's got corner skills. He can play slot corner, or he can play corner. He might project the corner in the pros. That's what's happening, I think, John.
Well, last year you had a guy like that from Connecticut, Byron Jones,
yeah.
The Cowboys picked. They picked him. They played him in both spots.
Also went to the Eagles.
Utah State, if I recall. He did go to Philadelphia. You're absolutely right.
Another one of those guys.
And then this year, the kid Jalen Ramsey, who's going to go probably in the top 7 or 8 from Florida State, he played corner and safety.
Exactly.
So, yeah, Paul, that's a great point.
I mean, they know the bigger money in the pros is at corner. So any of the guys who have the speed and the cover skills are thinking, let me show I can do that so I can cash in.
Excellent point. 201-939-4513. Fans, don't forget, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. We can talk about other Super Bowl stuff as well if you like. Cam Newton basically doubled down on his antics this morning with the media.
Wow.
If you want to throw in your 2 cents on that, you can. Otherwise, phone lines are open. What have you got? We'll talk it. Micah in Tennessee. He's been on hold the longest. Micah, how are you, pal?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing great, Micah.
Great.
So I've got just a couple of questions.
Sure.
So first one, about the offensive line, what do you guys think about Jeff Schwartz's brother coming as a right tackle? I mean, I know we have Beattie, but, I mean, couldn't we at least, I mean, I don't know about trading, but maybe like a release. I mean, we do need a little bit of extra cap space, but.
That's the first step. You have to figure out what you're doing with Will Beattie. I think that's number one. Here's the thing. Mitchell Schwartz, who you're talking about, from the Browns, an offensive tackle. He's 27 years old, had a good season for Cleveland last year. As Paul has said many times, you know, you have to figure out what you're doing at right tackle. And I think that is a priority. But I'm also not sure, after already spending so much resources on the offensive line, you can spend another big chunk of cap space on an offensive line. Maybe you can. I don't know how much he's going to cost. But I do think you need to figure out what's going on the right side of that offensive line, Micah.
Okay, that sounds good. And then you guys are talking about safety in the free agency. Is there a chance there's a corner that could transfer to a safety? I mean, they did that with Walter Thurmond in Philly, so you think they may be able to find somebody?
Well, see, for me, the free safety that the Giants acquire, again, according to my tastes, has to be a veteran who understands the game. He knows what he's doing. He's had a tremendous level of success because I want to pair him with Landon Collins.
Yeah, you don't want
I want him to be a big brother.
You don't want someone learning that position going next to him, right?
No, I want Landon Collins to have a big brother. So I'm not looking to draft a free safety, and I'm not looking to sign some young guy who's only been in the league a few years. I'd like to get a veteran. Weddle really fits all the check marks for me, fills all the check marks. So, but that's just me. But
right.
Thank you. I wanted to talk about Schwartz for a second.
Appreciate it, Michael. Yeah, go ahead.
Because I'm looking at the numbers that he's made, and he certainly is going to be looking to cash in on this contract.
Well, his rookie contract.
Look at these numbers, and they're not very healthy.
What round was he picked in? Does he have the draft?
He was
second round pick,
and yet
high in the second round too, 37th overall. So
he's going to want some mega bucks.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And if I was Mitchell Schwartz, I'd want to cash in too.
You know, that to me, and again, I'm not talking about the player's grades or his portfolio, but typically a player in this category gets overpaid.
Oh, yeah, first pro contract, 26, 27 years old. Yeah, absolutely.
Because typically.
He can still, you're signing him, and you're pretty sure he'll be in his prime years for a good 4 or 5 years while you have him.
Now, I would not be adverse to even signing a guy who's 30. If you ask me for the profile of the guy I'm looking for,
okay,
I would not be adverse to signing a veteran right tackle who's as high as 30 years old, which is still young enough in terms of tackle position.
Sure.
You don't have to be, 27 to have a lot of years left.
I agree with that.
And if I sign this guy, I want a Kareem McKenzie type. I don't need a flashy guy. I don't need a guy who's supposed to be some young up-and-coming stud who's got an arrow to the Pro Bowl because he's going to want big money. He's probably going to want to be overpaid. I want a guy who's just going to anchor that right tackle, and he's going to be a really good run blocker. I don't need anything spectacular. And you know what? If he's 30 years old and he knows the tricks of the trade and he's been fairly healthy, I can sign him to a 3-year contract, and he can gel with my other young guys. He can also help be a big brother to those young guys. I'm good with that. It doesn't have to be this guy doesn't have to fit the profile that I'm looking for. I can maybe get somebody a little less expensive.
Right. You're right. I think that's a fair point. 201-939-4513. Steve in Washington, D.C. Steve-O, long time no speak, brother. How are you?
What's going on, guys?
Good,
hey, just felt inclined to call him because obviously, I had a couple questions about the Giants, but I definitely wanted to speak my little piece on Cam Newton as well. And guys brought up the mid-round draft picks. And here's part of the reason why I think they decided to just let Tom Coughlin, retire, walk away, however you want to classify it. And that is because the lack of development in our mid-round draft picks. I'm sure there's a lot we missed on, just like any other organization, because it happens year in and year out. But I do believe that, there's definitely a lack of development on our team. Our free agents come here. They do great other places. They come here. They do mediocre. You got younger players, Unger and others, who show flashes. Even Hankins last year, The people come here to digress. It's like it's a graveyard now at this point.
Well, Steve, hold on, wait, one second. Quick on Hankins. I think you picked the wrong guy with Jonathan Hankins, because in just his second year, he was a Pro Bowl caliber defensive tackle. You can talk about other guys, and your point makes sense for some other guys, but I don't think Hankins is the right guy to bring up.
Yeah, I'm with you, John.
Okay, I don't want to have over one name, but the thing is this. I don't see any of these guys getting better when they get here. And that has been my concern long, you know, for the last 4 or 5 years. There's young players who never get an opportunity. It's been alluded to by management, you know, ownership. Everybody knows it, that, you know, one fumble by David Wilson, we never see him again for a half season. That kind of foolishness, I hope it is gone with Coughlin. I'm not really completely sold on McAdoo at this point. I mean, you know, just stubbornness with the four-back running, you know, with the four-running-back rotation last year. I don't know whose idea was. It seemed to be his. You know, it didn't work. And I'm just wondering, number one, my first question is, what is going to be different with our player development? Can you guys, I mean, are we changing all those coaches? Or, I mean, are those assistants? And, you know, can we expect to see change
in
that department?
A lot of player development, like you just said, comes down to the assistants. These are the guys that are in the meeting rooms with them. These are the guys that are doing the one-on-one work on the field and in the meeting rooms and watching tape. So I think a lot of the individual player development, obviously everyone plays a role in this, you know, from the strength and conditioning coach all the way up to the head coach. But it's really the position coaches that do a lot of the molding, Paul, with these younger guys.
No doubt.
And they teach them the technique.
Are we changing them? Because I hope we are.
Well,
they're not doing a very good job at all.
Well, the Giants haven't yet announced what their coaching staff is going to be. We're all waiting on it.
There is going to be a change.
It appears there is going to be some level of change, and I think saying it's a significant level of change probably wouldn't be incorrect. And I think if you look back, though, Steve, you have had some development, and you know, I think one place you've had development of players, for example, is the wide receiver position. I think you saw Victor Cruz develop when he was here. I think you saw Mario Manningham develop while he was here. Obviously, Odell Beckham has developed since he's been here. So I think that's a place where you certainly say there's been a lot of development. I mean, if you want to go back to the mid-2000s, and again, it was the same assistant coach now. It was a while ago. You saw Richie Seibert get a lot better once he got here. You saw David Deal get a lot better once he got here. So at Will Beatty. So I think there has been development at certain spots. And even you talk about the defensive line with OC, with Justin Tuck. Those are guys that developed while they heard JPP.
Those players wanted to get better. The players are just going to get better. I mean,
Steve, that's the thing, though. A lot of it is up to the player.
It works both ways.
A lot of it is up to the player. That's the thing.
And, Steve, I I'm not going to make an excuse for any of the guys who didn't pan out, but there's no question that some of the guys who never developed were inhibited significantly by injuries. I mean, you hate to say that, but who knows? You know, Devon Kennard, we still think he's going to be pretty good, but he's been hurt so much. Jay Bromley has been a little nicked up.
Go back, Brandon Mosley was hurt all the time.
Was hurt all the time. You know, and that's that is part of it. I'm not, again, not to excuse anybody, but it is part of it. And when you add up the equation, you have to put that in there too.
Hey, you know, Paul, and that falls back to the culture too, though. You know, some of these guys are supposed to be playing through these injuries, these so-called injuries. You know, being hurt and being injured is two different things, Paul.
You and I both know that. Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, but Steve, but how is
Paul? I got something for you, Paul, because
sure.
I know you're gonna jump all over me for this. But let me tell you something.
I'm not jumping all over you. I'm understanding your pain. I just think you have to open up your scope a little bit to include a few more factors. And may I also say just one other thing too. Sometimes you do ultimately just have to go back to the player and look the guy in the eye and say, hey, what did you do to become the best player you could be too?
And how much do you want it?
And sometimes it turns out after the guy gets here and he signs the pro contract and he's cashing the checks at the bank, sometimes he doesn't become the mature pro that you want him to be. And that goes to the player. That happens too, Steve.
Listen, exactly. It happened even with JPP. He's not gotten any better. His attitude, and that's what I'm saying. I'm glad because I want somebody who is going to be a football coach first and not necessarily much. I don't want to raise Boy Scouts. I want football players, and that brings me to my next point.
Okay,
so
go ahead.
I'm going to leave you with something to chop up on when I hang up, Paul. Believe me.
No, we're good. We're good, Steve.
I'm going to bring up Cam Newton.
Yes.
Because I think his last name is Glover, the mental physical trainer of Michael Jordan, okay? You know, the thing is this, when you are at the top of your game like Cam Newton is, been a champion at everything he's done, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, he's a young champion. And there is no excuse for the way he's handled the media. But you got to understand where it comes from. Number one, that's the same media that persecute him every opportunity they get. So he might as well have been sitting down with Denver's management when they ask him the question. I don't like the way he handled it, you know, but the thing is this, he's not entitled to kiss the, you know, certain people's butts and make people say he is there to play for his teammates, play for himself, and play to win. Okay, I don't really care. The fact that we continue to talk about it is the exact reason why he treats the media that way. Because the media don't like
it. Yeah, but Steve,
oh, wait.
Like it or not.
Go ahead. I'll let John go, but then I got something for
Steve,
you.
Steve,
real quick,
and then I'll let Paul finish. If you're a Panther fan after that game, don't you want to know why Cam Newton didn't jump on that football?
Yeah, listen, I'm going to tell you, this is what I think to it. This is what I think. I think part of it was, first of all, I don't know if his shoulder was hurting.
No, but Steve, here's the thing, though. Steve,
you don't know because he didn't tell you.
Steve, but whatever the reason is, you don't know why. Because he decided to be a jerk and not give an answer to the question.
He made a mistake, and error.
Right.
His timing was off. I think what he was going to do was try to sell it like it wasn't a fumble. You know, that's what was his second reaction. I don't know what his first reaction was, but I think his second reaction is, let me just act like it wasn't a fumble because he knew he wasn't going to get there and it wasn't caught. I don't know what he was thinking. So at this point, he's probably, in his mind, listen, he needs a few more days. This man is, in fact, he is taking it bad. So like it or not, that's the way it is. Okay? I mean, that's just the way it is.
Steve,
I'm not going to take it.
This Steve, relax. It's okay. We're not arguing with you. In fact, I think in a lot of ways we agree a lot on most of your points. I would only add one thing, though, to what you said before. You know, you said the media, and you tried to paint a broad brush there, that the media does not like Cam Newton. But the Associated Press, which is the media, voted him as the MVP of the league this year. So if the media doesn't like Cam Newton, they had an ability, much like many years ago when it was said that Ted Williams lost the MVP to Joe DiMaggio, even though Williams hit 400, it was said that the media didn't like Ted Williams, so they screwed him out of the award. They could have screwed Cam Newton out of the MVP this year.
T.O. is not in the Hall of Fame. I can't stand T.O., but y'all know he's supposed to be in the Hall of Fame.
No, but no, this has nothing to do with T.O. You said Cam Newton. Your comment was the media does not like Cam Newton. That's what you said, and that's what you based your comment on, and the media voted him MVP, right?
Well, you're saying because they voted him in, which was undeniable to be the MVP.
And he got what he deserved. No, but he got what he deserved. Steve, hold on. He got what he deserved. The media voted the man MVP because he earned it, and they gave it to him. And so they must not hate him so much because they didn't cheat him out of the award. That's the one thing I want to correct you on. Now, as far as the rest of your opinion, I have no problem with it. Ron Rivera himself was just on before we came on the air. I don't know if you saw it, John.
I did not watch it.
He was just on live before we came on the air. He said he regretted what Newton did. He understood that he was a competitor. And that he wants guys who want to win. He wants guys who hate to lose. So he's on board with the guy's mentality. What he did say was he's not happy with the way it was handled. He should have handled it differently. And maybe, if you listened to the show yesterday when I was on with Lance, the one suggestion that I made was if there was such an issue, he should have gotten more time to cool off and then come out to the podium. If he needed 5 more minutes, 10 more minutes.
Half an hour. Even.
And that would have given him an opportunity. And Ron Rivera said that very same thing this morning. Maybe he needed more time. And that's all I'm saying.
Ron Rivera said, I would just simply say this. I was more offended by, you know, Peyton plugging Budweiser and basically talking about getting drunk. Nobody wants to talk about
that. Hey, Steve, Steve.
Let me say one last thing, and then I'll hang up. Y'all chop it up. I wanted to say this. And everybody, every Giant fan out there, listen, I'm going to just say this. It is not in our best interest to trade, get rid of, or even if Beatty can play that left tackle, we need to have Beatty there. If that means a restructure, I don't know where he is, but if he's physically, we need to have competition. I believe he's the best left tackle, and that's what I want, the best player fit.
All right,
that's
Steve.
All I'm going to say. Y'all can chop it. I appreciate y'all.
Thank you.
All right, Steve. Call again.
Hey, look, I like Cam Newton. I think he's a great player, and I give him credit for how much better he's become. I mean, he's such a much better quarterback than he was when he first came into the league. I give him all the credit in the world. He's a great player, and frankly, I don't mind this celebration when he scores touchdowns. That's cool. Go have fun.
MVP season, and he got the award, and he deserved it.
But don't all week complain about how the media treats you poorly and then act like the exact person they said you were. If you don't want them to say bad things about you, don't give them ammunition. And he basically said, here's a platter. Here's a perfect example for you to kill me for another year.
Yeah, he did. And I mean, he did it again today, too, right?
Just from his perspective, it's a stupid decision.
Didn't you just tell me at Baggy Day today he was rather short with them again?
He wasn't short. He actually gave long answers. But he basically said, if I don't like losing. I'm a sore loser. And if you show me someone that doesn't like losing or, you know, doesn't hate losing, I'll show you a loser. And then he said basically, you know, over the last couple of days, people have said I should have acted like this guy or acted like that guy. Well, you know, who's to say their way is right and my way is wrong? I'm going to act the way I act, and I'm an individual, and that's what I'm going to do. So basically he just called Luke Kuechly a loser. He called Josh Norman a loser. He called Russell Wilson a loser. He called every single teammate that went out there and acted like a professional. And that's what it is. It's acting like a professional because
Absolutely.
It is part of the job responsibility.
Absolutely.
And he said, because you are willing to be an adult and talk to the media after the game and not act like a jerk, you're a loser. So he just called all his teammates losers.
You know what's interesting about that, John? And I find and this has nothing to do with Cam Newton himself. It has to do with the personality profile that he has fit into.
Right.
The guy who likes to have fun, the guy who likes to celebrate, the guy who likes to be in the spotlight. Well, those are the guys who usually get a lot of the endorsements.
Yeah.
They get, you know, all the commercials and all the stuff.
Plenty of those.
He's got plenty of those, right?
Absolutely.
So if you're going to act so fun and carefree and provide entertainment that gets you all of that stuff, well, then I'm sorry, but the arrow also goes the other way.
A responsibility comes with that.
It has to.
Absolutely.
Now, if you want to be calm, cool, and collected like Mark Bavaro was, Mark Bavaro hated to talk to the media.
He hated it, absolutely. He
okay?
still does.
And here's the thing. Bavaro never, ever, ever, outside of, you know, the thing with the cross, because he was a very religious guy, I'm never going to criticize anybody for a religious type of symbolic deal, because you're not going to go there.
It is what it is.
Right. But here's the thing. Bavaro didn't talk to the media when he was here unless he was forced to. Other than that, it was hello and that was it. And here's the thing. He didn't draw attention to himself, good or bad. He wanted to stay in the background and just do his job. Well, then if he doesn't talk after the Super Bowl and they lose a game like what just happened with Carolina, then it's not as big a deal because he didn't go out of his way to attract attention when things were good. So, therefore, if he's in the background all the time, that's what he is.
Yeah, and I know Giant fans don't want to hear this, by the way. I thought one guy that I thought equated himself really well over the last 7 to 8 days and really made me want to like him is Josh Norman.
Yeah, I mean,
I thought he was great after the game. Before the game is over and that final timeout before the Broncos kneel down, on the field he goes up to Peyton Manning and congratulates him, has a few words for him. Good sport. Prior in the week on Media Day, when Deion Sanders tried to basically exploit the situation with him and Odell Beckham Jr. by going up to his podium and trying to be Mr. Peacekeeper and make himself the center of attention, Josh Norman basically said, get the hell out of here. I don't want to talk to you. I'm still mad about it. After the game, when you were on the post-game show that night, you said you had no problem with what Beckham did. So you know what? To hell with you, Deion. Get the hell away from me. And you know what? You might disagree with his overall take on the situation and his opinion, but good for him for not letting Deion Sanders, you know, try to exploit the situation for his own personal gain.
I was impressed, quite honestly, when we saw the post-game podium televised on the different networks. Josh Norman, who, again, is a guy who does like attention.
Right.
Without question.
Absolutely.
And he decided, well, guess what? I'm going to sit here, and I'm going to answer the questions. Now, he was not happy. You could see it. He was not happy.
But that's fine. You don't have to be happy.
But you know what? It's like swallowing cough medicine when you're ill. You got to do it.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It's part of the deal. Richie, Long Island, you're up next. What's going on, Rich?
Guys.
Hey, Rich.
Thanks for taking my call.
No problem. Thank you.
All right. No, I just want to say I appreciate, you know, what you guys did throughout the season. You know, 1st and 10, rewind, you know, Wednesday press conference live. Those were all good to watch.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
You.
Keep watching.
Yeah, definitely will. I can't wait for training camp. It can't come soon enough.
Me too.
Stop.
One thing, I just wanted to say was that
time off.
In terms In terms of trying to rank, like, seasons, as far as being, like, maybe frustrating or kind of disappointing, where would you rank the season that just passed? You know, I haven't been watching too long Giants, so I know you guys have been watching, you know, way longer than I have. But, you know, where would you rank that in terms of, you know, kind of frustration or disappointment? And because, you know, every season everybody has, like, a certain, you know, outlook of it going to be a certain way.
Well,
with that,
Rich, I would say this about this season this year. I don't think Paul or I either had super high expectations. I think we were hopeful the team could put things together, figure out a way to win the division given the state of the NFC East.
Yeah.
But I think we saw them within, you know, a couple games of 500. You know, something like that. So I wouldn't rank this up in terms of huge disappointments. I think if you want to talk about disappointments, you go to 2008. I think that's a disappointing season. I think 2012, that's a disappointing season.
Absolutely.
You know, even 2009 and 2010 to a certain extent, you would like to think you would do a little bit more in those couple of years. So I think those are probably a little bit more frustrating because the expectations before you started. And, Paul, you could speak better to the early 2000s and then the late 90s maybe in teams that they thought were going to be really good and were disappointments. But I wouldn't rank this among those, Rich, because of the expectations prior.
And that's where I totally agree with John. When you talk about expectations, you know, there was the 85 team, which lost to the Bears, and I thought, quite frankly, they had a chance to win that game.
Oh, the Rams year, 89,
then there's
right?
the Flipper Anderson, yeah. You know, which I thought that could have been a Super Bowl team. I thought the 93 team, had they beaten Dallas in the season finale, gotten the bye week, and not had to go to San Francisco like they did after being a wild card team, I thought that team had a chance to make a run. So there were high expectations, and you mentioned it too, John. Every year you win a Super Bowl, the following year you expect to still be a playoff team. And when you don't, like the 2007 team came back, they made the playoffs, but with the thing with Burris, they were one and done.
Well, then you were so good in 08, you thought 09 you'd be able to have a really good year again.
No
too,
question.
Right.
The 2011 team, you think in 12 you're going to be a playoff team. Doesn't happen. With the expectations like up here, or at least maybe here, boy, does that hurt when it doesn't happen.
Yeah, because look, there are small windows,
you know,
in this league. When you have really good teams, you've got to take advantage of it.
There are, you know. And look, I would tell you this, even the Bill Parcells era Giants, they won two Super Bowls. But I think if you talk to most of those guys, Banks included, they would tell you they would have loved to have had at least one more shot.
Remember, fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. It's as simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Back to the phones. Let's say what's up to – has Raheem been holding the longest, Dave? I guess so. We'll go to Raheem in the Bronx. Raheem, what's going on, pal?
Hey. Hi, Paul. Hi, John.
Hey, Raheem.
Hi. I'm a first-time caller.
Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I came to America in 2010, and my godbrother taught me the game of football, and I remember the first game I saw was a Giants game, and ever since, I love the Giants.
Good stuff.
And ever since, from that point till now, I've self-proclaimed myself as a Giants connoisseur, and I just want to give my take on what I would do if I was Jerry Reese.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Roster.
The floor is yours, my friend. You have it.
Now, I'm going through free agency with the cap salary that we have. We should be able to target some big-name free agents to fix key spots on the defense because that is the priority. I think one name that jumps out is Olivier Vernon from the Dolphins.
Okay.
We need to fix the line because – as you see what Denver did and what we did in the Super Bowls, in order to win, you need to have a strong pass rush and a good defense overall.
Yeah, and Raheem, I think you hit a good name there because if you want to go for a top guy that I think there's a decent chance their own team won't re-sign them because of their salary cap situation, I think that's a good name to throw out there.
I did see a story over the weekend that indicated the Dolphins are going to try to do some heavy-duty finagling to squeeze him in.
But it's not going to be easy.
Not going to be easy.
Right.
Not going to be easy. I think more likely Mario Williams is going to be set free out of Buffalo. More than likely. He's got a high cap number. He didn't have great production this year. Him and Rex Ryan clashed.
Not big fans of each other, those two.
No.
All right, Raheem, what's step two for you?
And if they would also like to go for Malik Jackson, I really liked how he performed in the Super Bowl, too.
He's a good player, man. He's really good.
He's a good player.
He's really
good.
Good
player.
And he would be that perfect three-technique defensive tackle to put next to Hankins, too.
And the media out in Denver seems to think that they're not going to be able to re-sign him.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be able to sign him either with Von Miller. They need to re-sign him as well, and they just signed Wolf to a big contract.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but here's the thing. You know, if you've got X number of dollars to commit to free agency, do you want to put them in? I'm not saying he's not a terrific player because a guy like Jackson is, but where do you want to allocate that money? You know, I think you would say yourself, they badly need pass rush. They certainly need another safety. I kind of want to put my money there. But I hear what you're
passer.
Saying.
You can rush the passer, Malik Jackson.
You don't think about him as – I know he had 11 sacks, but you don't think –
Yeah, it's pretty good for
– It's outstanding.
For a 3-4
defense, outstanding.
That's fantastic.
But I think you're talking more edge rusher when you think about
– I guess.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you know what? How important is it to have that rush up the middle?
Yeah, it is. It is. It is. Anyway,
yeah,
but good stuff.
I actually don't think we need to go after a safety. I know
you don't want
weird.
A safety.
I'm like the only Giants fan that doesn't think that.
Yeah,
I think we
so.
Have a lot of good young safeties like Napper, Hay, and because Thompson was hurt for the year, we don't yet know
what. Well, you just mentioned two guys
like.
Who were hurt, though. I mean,
no, and two guys that haven't really played significant time in the NFL as a starting safety. I think
haven't played at all.
Raheem, both
as
those
a starter.
Guys could be good safeties, but I don't think we know that they are yet. And you think you're taking a significant risk by counting on two guys that. Both missed all last year with injury, and neither of which have success at the NFL level.
And as much as I hate to say it, that's the game they played last summer, and it didn't work out so well.
It did not.
And, oh, okay, and that's a valid point. The next step, though, is linebacker. John Beeson has been hurt as well, been on the IR.
Correct.
For 2 years. I would think you want to draft Miles Jack. I really like him, but I don't think he's going to be there at number 10.
Doesn't look like it.
Yeah, and I would – if you're going to go in free agency, I like Danny Trevathan from the Broncos too. He's a very good
player.
Linebacker. I
a
think
lot
he
of
would
people
be
will like him.
Good at Mike.
Okay. You know, it's fair to like a player like that. Whether it's realistic or not remains to be seen.
And you know what, Raheem, and the real shame of it is a lot of these players off these Super Bowl champion teams, they end up getting – overpaid even more than other guys because
that's
of
true.
Their exposure in the playoffs. And unfortunately for the Giants, a lot of the top defensive free agents this year happened to play for the Denver Broncos.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing you got to remember, too, you got to remember he mentioned McCourty earlier in the show. That also happens with free agents who are on some of your better teams. They wind up giving hometown discounts because they just want to stay.
And they want to win.
And, yeah, so they're not interested in picking up and moving somewhere.
I mean, why would you want to leave Denver? I don't know if you've ever been to Denver, Raheem. It's a beautiful city. It's a great place to live. The weather's great.
Never been.
Paul Dettino will be power walking all over the place.
Oh,
if you go to Denver. Let me
baby.
All right, Raheem, final point. Finish up for me.
Oh, if the defensive line still needs some help, I know Robert Ayers and Jason Pierre-Paul still need to be re-signed. If you can't get some help in free agency – and I don't Miles Jack is not going to be there at number 10. Jalen Smith is too big of a risk to take at number 10. I like Robert Nkemdiche from Ole Miss. I think he's a very good defensive lineman.
Okay.
He's big. He's strong. I've actually heard comparisons to J.J. Watt. I know he had a little incident the other day with the police, but if you overlook that, I think he's talented enough to take at number 10.
All right, Raheem, thanks a lot for the call, man. Great point.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
I got to tell you, Raheem, someone that only showed up in 2010 and starting watching the Giants.
It's a good call.
That's very, very good stuff, Raheem. That's
good
excellent.
Call. Calls again.
Good knowledge.
Good stuff.
Well done, sir. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Len in Columbia, Maryland. Let's hope Len can be half as good as Raheem. What's going on, Len? How are you, buddy?
Oh, baby.
Yes, how you doing?
I know
well,
one thing. Listen, Len's been around longer than Raheem.
Yes, he has. That's true.
Yeah, I have been. But that was a good call. And oh, wow. And a call from Steve. Oh, man. That's great. It's good to hear from Steve
again.
Oh, I
love Steve.
I give the NFL an A minus for that show the other night. It's 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. It was just great entertainment.
You know,
I mean, that was just great stuff.
You know, Len, you say that, and I think it was a great game. I will say this, and I haven't even mentioned this to Paul yet, so I'm curious of his take. I did not like CBS's broadcast of the game. I thought they didn't show enough replays. There were three or four players where I'm like, let me see what happened, and I didn't see it. For example, there was a play on a punt where it looked like there should have been a running into the kicker. Did I get one good look at whether or not it was running into the kicker? I did not. Yeah. They threw a flag on Bradley Roby for defensive holding. Did I ever get a replay to see why they picked up the flag? No, I did not. There were plenty, I thought plays in that game, Len, where I wanted to see a replay or two, and I never got it. And for that to happen at a Super Bowl, I think is bad. At the post game, they missed Cam Newton and Peyton Manning at midfield, saying goodbye to each other after the game. They caught just the tail end of it. They missed that. I thought there were a lot of issues with that broadcast. And frankly, I think CBS's people are reviewing that game the next couple days. I think that director is going to get put in the chair, and it's going to be like, you made some really weird decisions.
You know, I think my biggest problem is that they tried to cram so much into it, so many promos, so many spots, and that inhibited the quality of the football viewers' enjoyment.
I'm not sure if you heard, but halftime is right around the corner, and you should stay tuned during halftime for the halftime show. They said that in the first break, that it's coming up soon. It was the first break of the game.
Len,
not soon.
Len, do you know any football fan that doesn't know halftime's coming up in about an hour? Do you really need to be reminded of that?
With 163 million people tuning in, I think that was one of the numbers that they came up with.
But that's what happened, Len, so that's my comment.
There may have been some people who, you know, who didn't know it, or maybe needed to hear it from the kitchen where they were preparing some food or whatever. But, hey, John, I'm surprised you haven't said to me, what did you think of the halftime show?
You know what, Len? I was just about to say it. You are our caller of stars. You love the stars. There were many stars appearance at halftime. What do you think?
Let me just say this. And listen, you guys are the media experts, but let's go to the halftime show and then we'll move on.
Uh-oh. You should have saved this for Anita.
I thought that was a terrific.
No, Len, you know, here's my one issue at halftime. And honestly, whoever was mixing the Coldplay portion of halftime, you could barely hear his vocals. I felt like you could barely hear him singing. Okay. I thought Bruno Mars sounded good. I thought Beyonce sounded good. There's a whole political thing with Beyonce with the costumes. I don't want to get into that at all.
Right.
I don't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole. But I was entertained. I thought
it
was fine.
Would you, John, pay to see Bruno Mars?
Yes, I would.
He's terrific.
Yep, I agree.
And listen,
it's good.
I think Beyonce's terrific.
Oh, yeah, there's nothing wrong with Beyonce.
Lady Gaga was great, and I enjoyed the game. I think you're being too critical with CBS, John. I think you're being too critical.
All right.
Yeah. Maybe I'm biased toward Phil. I love Phil's broadcast. I know they're going to kill me. They're going to kill me on Twitter this morning.
No, Len. I thought Nance and Phil were okay.
That's not what John was saying.
It was the technical stuff in the truck that I had some issues with, though I thought Nance missed a couple things here and there, too. But honestly, I didn't have a huge problem with Phil. I would honestly want to watch it back because, you know, when you have a lot of people at your house, sometimes you don't hear everything.
That's true, too.
People are talking.
That's true, too.
So I would like to actually go back to the broadcast and watch it all the way through.
Remember one thing, Len, and, you know, from being in this industry as long as I have, radio and TV both, in TV, really, the director and producer has a lot more control over what's going on and what you see as a fan than the announcers do. Now, on radio, it's all the announcers.
Remember, the announcers have to, a lot of times, Len, talk about what the producer shows. So Sims might want to make a point, but if the producer is showing something else, you can't do it. You're going to look like a fool.
He's being told, you know, we're giving you this ISO, and even if Phil wants a replay on something else, he's got to follow that ISO. Otherwise, it's a traffic jam,
Len,
it looks terrible.
I got to tell you, I've done many TV games with Paul Dottino. And I can't tell you how many times after the game, Paul storms into that truck and gives that director a piece of his mind for ruining his broadcast. It happens all the time.
No.
He throws down
never.
His board. He says,
right, listen,
let me tell you, Mitch,
never.
You screwed me today.
Never. Never.
Let me put you guys on the spot with a football question here. We got 20 unrestricted free agents. Maybe it's 21. I forget the number.
Okay.
First, the three key ones are, you know, Prince, Robert Ayers, and JPP. Quite frankly, the other 17, and let me just use that number, the other 17, if I find out that they're going somewhere else, it's not going to break my heart. But here's what I want to know about these three guys. Do we try to sign? In order of importance, 1, 2, 3, 1 being the highest, 3 being the lowest, although it's still pretty high. Rank these guys. Who do we want to sign before March the 9th, when free agency opens? Or are we going to let all three of these guys hit free agency?
Okay, who?
Who's number one?
Out of those three?
Out of which three again? Say the name.
Yeah, out of those three. Out of JPP. I mean, those are, listen, the other 17 guys, if they leave tomorrow, nobody's going to cry.
Len, what's your JPP, Prince, and Ayers?
We're coming off 2-6-10 seasons. I want to know about JPP, Prince, and Robert Ayers.
I think me and Paul's ranks are going to be different. We haven't talked about this, so I'll give you mine first.
Okay.
Simply because of age, I think JPP is one, Prince is two, and Ayers is three.
Wow. We are different. I'm going to go Robert Ayers one.
But he's over 30.
Here's the thing. I believe that because of JPP's mishap last year, I don't think the open market's going to be as hot on him as people think. And I think he will be a Giant, and I think they're going to be able to get him at a reasonable rate with triggers and incentives. And I think that they'll probably be able to offer him the best, most reasonable deal and most lucrative to him with triggers than anybody outside will. So
yeah,
I'm not so
not
much worried about him getting away.
But what's the importance?
I don't think he's getting away. I think Ayers could get away.
Listen, you're not answering my question.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. Paul, you got to answer the question.
Who do we not let hit free agency?
You can't let Robert Ayers hit because he's going to get big money. And it's going to be money they're not going to be able to match.
But here's the thing. I don't think you can prevent any one of those three guys from hitting free agency. Because if you, in order to prevent one of those three guys from hitting free agency, you're going to have to overwhelm them with your offer. And I don't think any one of those three guys, you're going to go out there and overwhelm. I think they're going to want to test free agency, to be quite honest with you, before they agree to a contract the Giants offer them. So I like where your head's at. I just don't think it's going to work with those three particular guys. I think they want to see what other offers are out there.
There's a lot of angles to your question, Len. It's not as simple as you think it is.
I know it is. I understand that. But let me give you my take on this. Here's what I think. If any of those three guys hit free agency on March the 9th, they're gone.
I don't know about that.
I think JPP is going to be here. I think he will work out a deal. I think if Robert Ayers signs before that, which I think can happen, even though I think he's going to want to test it, he's a Jersey guy, and he's very, very, very happy with this organization.
I think we're in agreement on this, and I wonder if you are too. And I think the guy that has the best chance of leaving of those three,
Prince,
is probably Prince.
I absolutely agree with that too.
Okay, I think if we want those guys, if we want any of those guys, and John, I liked your list. I had the same priority list. Well, with all due respect, Paul, I kind of agreed with John.
Well, that's all right. I think Ayers is going to get the guy of those three who they can least afford to let go, only because I think he's going to get a healthy offer, is Robert Ayers, coming off a career season, and he's healthy.
Do you think when all is said and done, Ayers will get a bigger offer than JPP on the open market?
Yes.
See, I disagree with you. And I think that's where we're
going to disagree. I disagree too, Paul.
We'll see. You could be right.
I think
nobody knows how that last hand surgery went for Jason either.
Here's my thing, though. When Jason came back, he had a much bigger impact on the defense as a whole than Robert Ayers did when he was there by himself.
I understand that.
You got it. Hey, listen.
Anyway.
Listen.
Yep.
If we want those guys, and I want JPP back badly, I want JPP back, sign this
I want
guy
back too.
Before March the 9th. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you,
always
Len.
Great to talk.
Very spirited. Len. Yeah, I honestly had a friend that works in the broadcast industry that watched a game with me, and we talked a lot about the CBS broadcast. I thought some of the replay and cameras they showed, it was strange.
You know, with the kind of money they spend, you know they're going to cram every second that they can full of their own
and
stuff.
And you're right. They really did do a lot of promos.
It's too much, but they're paying a ton for it, so I guess they're entitled to do it.
You gotta
pay for it, right?
You do. All right, we have two more calls before we say goodbye. Marcus in Philadelphia, you're up next. What's up, Marcus?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing well, Marcus.
I haven't had a chance to call you guys in a while.
No problem.
Hi.
I just have a couple quick things really quickly. Actually, the gentleman a couple calls ago stole out of my ideas with Malik Jackson and the Danny Trevathan from Denver, because I really love those guys.
Hey, they're good players, man. They're good players.
Yeah, and I think they would come in and be immediate impact players on our team. But just really quickly, I'm down here in Philly, and I'm listening to the radio shows down here, and the Eagles are actually locking up a lot of their guys. They locked up Vinnie Curry, who was a guy that I actually wanted for us because I think, you know, he's a good pass rusher.
And it looks like Fletcher Cox is going to sign today, too.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Right. They're talking to him now. And this leads into my question. Does Jerry Reese, has he even talked or begin talking to, like, Prince or JPP or Ayers about contracts?
I'm sure.
Or is that something that traditionally the Eagles, the Giants, do they do that? Is that something that they do?
Marcus, honestly, I'm not sure what conversations have taken place and what haven't. Paul and I aren't privy to that sort of thing. But, look, I'm sure, you know, Jerry Reese does his due diligence. You know, he works his butt off up there. And, you know, I'm sure he has had conversations with people, and the parameters of what the Giants will be willing to offer, I'm sure, has been communicated to the agent. I'm sure the sides know where they are at this point.
I can give you a generic answer here, not a specific one, but a generic one. The way the Giants do business is when the season is over and they have baggy day, usually all of the guys who are unrestricted free agents get a quick powwow. They'll go in with Jerry, and they'll sit down for a couple of minutes and have a quick powwow, and they'll just get basically a feeling out as to, okay, you know what, we'll talk in a month, or we'll talk in 3 weeks, or we'll talk in 2 weeks, and you know what, we're really going to try to make something happen. Or maybe it's just like, hey, you know what, free agency's coming around the corner. Maybe it's probably best you get a look and see what offers you get, and then let us know what's going on, too. Whatever the conversation is, that's the kind of thing that happens within the first 24 hours or so after the season is over. And then each guy gets dealt with individually. So, yes, I'm sure it's been addressed, but to be specific, we don't know that.
Okay. I mean, simply because it kind of scares me, because I sit back and think about, like, the Linville Josephs and the Barry Coldfields and some players who have left our team and went out and actually had pretty good careers with other teams and with players. And I know that they may have outpriced themselves, or at the time we may have not had the funds to sign them back. But right now we're probably, cap-wise, is from what I understand, one of the best years in a couple of years where we can actually address our team. And if you look at, if you just go back to Sunday with the Panthers and Denver, if you have a strong front seven and some good linebackers, you can really do work in this league. And it's something that I just think that Jerry Reese, he hasn't really addressed our linebacking core. We really need to make a strong push with Danny Trevathan. We need to make a push with Malik Jackson, because I think next to Big Hank, that would be a hell of a combination right there. I heard the gentleman say a little while ago about Olivier Vernon. I'm a real big fan of his. We have to get that pass rush back up. I think our offense is pretty good. Maybe a couple tweaks on the offensive line. I love this kid, Mohamed Sanu, from the Bengals, who's a Rutgers guy. And I think he will be a great addition with Odell. And I don't think he'll be a lot of money. And I think that's a guy that I've been looking at that I think is awesome. I really haven't heard anybody talk about. I just want to hear you guys' opinion on it. Is the kid Ladarius Green from out San Diego? He's a big body tight end.
Yes,
that's pretty much like a wide receiver.
I like him,
and I think he could work the middle of the field and really free Odell Beckham up. What do you guys think about him?
Thanks for the call, Marcus. We appreciate it. I think that's an interesting name. As I look at the tight ends, Paul, he's one of the guys that jumps out. He's only 25 years
old.
Yeah,
I like
him. Now, here's the thing. I think the Chargers might see him as the heir apparent to Antonio Gates.
Yeah, and I don't see him getting away.
Working him in slowly with Gates, I'd be surprised if the Chargers let him roll.
I would
be
very surprised if they let him walk, because I think they believe he's their future.
And he's another guy. Yeah, he ain't coming cheap.
No.
Ladarius Green ain't coming cheap. I know his numbers aren't fantastic. Last year, 37 catches, 429 yards, 4 touchdowns. They don't jump off the page at you, but he's a very, very physically talented football player.
Solid player. Like him a lot. I would suspect he's not going to move.
You know who this reminds me of? Ladarius Green. Maybe not the exact type of player, but at least the scenario. Do you remember when Martellus Bennett was with the Cowboys?
Sure.
And he was trapped behind Jason Witten.
Absolutely.
And everyone's like, he's been disappointing. He hasn't done a great job. And the Cowboys, who had money dedicated elsewhere, couldn't re-sign him. He goes out and all of a sudden, he becomes the primary guy, and he's a really, really, really good player. Yeah. And I could see something like that happening with Ladarius Green once he's given the opportunity.
That's why I don't think the Chargers are going to let him get away.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder if Gates is going to retire. Do you think?
Wouldn't shock me.
Have you heard anything about that?
No, I have not.
I haven't either.
I have not seen his name anywhere.
All right, final call of the show is Charlie in Portland, Maine. He wants to talk about the Super Bowl. What's up, Charlie?
Well, I did until I heard all this conversation. But hey, guys, how y'all?
Hello. What do you got, Charlie? What are you irritated about now, Mr. Happy?
No, this is good. All I think is Len was talking about, you know, signing these free agents before March 9th. But Jerry Reese should be also talking to Pugh and Hankins' agents and sign them now. Lock them up now. Do not wait till a year from now. These two guys are your core, and he should be talking to their agents, and he should be getting these guys signed.
Well, Charlie, I think you have a better argument with Hankins because he only has 1 year left.
Right.
Pugh, they can activate that fifth-year option on him and control him for another year if they choose. So I think Hankins is a little bit closer to free agency. I think it makes a little bit more sense with him than it would with Pugh if you want to go in that direction.
Yeah, I agree.
And we also have a franchise tag. And what's the other tag? Is it?
There's the transition tag, which honestly teams rarely use it these days, to be honest with you.
Right.
Yeah. But we do have the franchise tag. If they really wanted to keep Prince, they could franchise. We can use that on Prince, right?
I don't think that's going to happen, but it could be done.
I mean, the franchise tag for a corner is, what, like $12, $13 million these days? Something like that? Revis. Because Revis got franchised, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
It was almost $15 million, I think, when they franchised Revis. So I don't know. I don't know if that's happened to Charlie.
You know?
That's way too much money.
Durability is an issue.
Tag that we could use on Ayers or we could use on JPP. So maybe they'll use it for that. And I just want to say one thing about the Super Bowl. The problem I have with Cam Newton is, look, the guy has a personality. The guy loves the media. You know, the guy, like, you know, when everything's going good, they're taking selfies, they're, you know, dabbing and nabbing and whatever they do, which is fine with me. I don't really care. But if you bring all that attention upon yourself and the team and – then you have to, if you lose, then you have to stand up.
Yep.
You know, you have to be the other guy saying, hey, we lost. They were a better team. I'm going to do things better. But, you know, when you bring all that attention on yourself and you love it and you want it and you're doing things that really most quarterbacks would not do in this league, then you've got to stand up on the other side. So to me, it just showed his immaturity. He's not ready to be a Super Bowl quarterback, and hopefully this will change him and he will get more serious. I don't mean he has to stop doing what he's doing, but he's got to mature. So that's what I saw lacking in him anyway, and that's why I picked the Broncos to win the game, because I didn't think he's a quarterback. He's not that accurate. No quarterback is really accurate when you're rushed as much as he was.
Yeah, that is
true. And
I think, by the way, we saw Charlie. I think we saw even when the pass rush wasn't getting there in the second half.
He missed a lot of makeable throws.
Why, though? He was throwing off his back foot because he saw ghosts of Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware trying to come after him.
Right. And I hope JR noticed that we need the relentless pursuit of the quarterback. And we need to go back to that gave us Super Bowls. And I hope he goes out and gets people that we need, like Williams, if he's available, if they cut where, if he wants to play again, bring him in. There's a bunch of people that we should be able to get it and get that relentless pursuit of the quarterback. So, guys, have a good
day.
Thank
you.
You too. Talk to you guys soon.
Thank you, Charlie.
That's one of the best calls he's ever had. There was no confrontation.
He likes conference. I like Charlie because of the conference.
No, but though. He made sense today. I mean, that's good for a change.
Wow, you really don't like Charlie.
No, it was a good call. I'm very happy with the call.
We've had awesome callers today.
It's a very good show today.
We've had really good call.
Anyway, just drop this in about the Broncos.
Go ahead. You got it.
John Elway stating today that Malik Jackson and Danny Trevathan, two of his very highly sought-after free agents, will be priorities to re-sign. Not a surprise.
This is a full quote. They are all priorities, Elway said via the Denver Post. Getting Derek Wolfe done was the first step, and we want to get Danny and Malik done. We want to try and keep the group together, but it's a fluid process. We will talk to their representatives and see where we are at and get a feel for it. And obviously, Brock Osweiler is also up, and the Broncos are going to figure out what they do with their quarterbacks. But I think we all expect Peyton to retire. And by the way, he didn't want to take the attention away from his teammates, so good for him for not making himself the story after the game.
Yeah, good for him for that, but not good for the Papa John's and Budweiser people to get involved in the commercialism.
No, Budweiser didn't do anything. They didn't pay him for that.
I understand.
Peyton did that on his own.
He did that on his own. That wasn't cool. I didn't like it.
I don't think he did it on purpose.
I don't know if he did or he didn't. I don't like it anyway. Just an opinion.
Now, having Papa John on the sideline was pretty funny. That was pretty funny. Now, remember, he's not just a sponsor. He also owns a lot of those. He owns a lot of them. That's part of his off-the-field business. I'm just explaining that it's more than just a
I understand,
just a pitch
but
man.
That, you know, I just didn't need to see
at,
that.
At first, I thought I saw Papa John give him a hat. I thought he was going to wear the Papa John hat.
Oh, no.
I really did. I thought it was going to be Papa John time for Peyton in the postgame. I was laughing, but then it ended up being a Super Bowl hat. I thought it was funny.
There's a time and a place for the commercialism, and that was not it.
No, I think that's fair.
Okay.
Not fair. And by the way, all the jokes and the memes out there with the Eli face at the end of the game.
Oh.
Eli, apparently, TMZ caught up with him at an airport. And they asked him, what's going on with the face? And he looks at the camera and he goes, I haven't seen this. This is third hand now, so maybe I'm getting it
okay.
wrong. This is what I was told he said. That I was trying to figure out whether or not they were going to have to go for the two-point conversion.
Doesn't
and so I was really
me.
Trying to figure it out.
Doesn't
and I was very
me.
Stressed about the defense getting a stop.
Of course.
And as a quarterback, the game's never over until it's over.
He's always thinking.
So the gears
He's
were going.
Always thinking.
The gears were going. And then they asked
always.
Him, have you seen everything online? He kind of laughed. He goes, I've seen some of them. And they go, I thought a lot of them were pretty funny.
Yeah. He's always thinking, wheels
right.
always turning. That's Eli. I'm not surprised.
Neither am I. So there you go, folks. Great show today. Lance and I tomorrow. For Paul Dottino, I'm John Schmoe. Big Blue Kickoff Live, by the way, will hit the Combine next week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I'm going to try to put together 3 2-hour shows. We'll have a lot of guests.
2 hours.
We'll take a lot of calls. Yeah.
Wow.
So we're going to try to do that from the Combine in Indianapolis next week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, from noon to 2 Eastern time on those 3 days. So there should be a lot of fun. I hope you listen in. But tomorrow will be Lance and I. In fact, you know what, Paul? Are you available tomorrow?
If you need me.
I might, because I got a lot of prep to do for the Combine. I'm not going to be here Thursday and Friday.
Okay.
Because my dog is having his little buddies removed.
Oh, no. Too much information.
Uh-huh.
Too much information.
Well.
Just too much.
Because my wife can't take off from work the next day. But she was going to do it, but she has to work.
Too much.
So
too much.
I'm not going to be here Thursday and Friday.
Much too much.
All right. Thanks for joining us, everybody. So I might need you tomorrow. I'll let you know.
All right.
It'll be Lance and then one of us. See you later. Have a good one, everybody.
He's got through. 35, 30.